certainly you will recognize it in the things that you see going on around us. And that's where I'd like to begin tonight, giving some examples of the postmodern world and culture in which we live. There may be a woman who thinks that her marriage is struggling, says that her husband does not treat her well, and feels that her marriage is completely unfulfilling. And if she goes to a counselor in the world today to seek counsel, what that counselor may tell her is that she ought to do whatever feels good. Do whatever feels right for you. That's the type of counsel that is given by worldly counselors today, and such counsel arises from this postmodern spirit. Postmodernism has affected the view of religion in our land as well. So that may be here in Spokane, I'm not sure if it has happened, but maybe here in Spokane there have been invites for those of all different faiths and religions to come together for some kind of a prayer service. If it's not happened here, it's happened in many other cities in our country. And the thinking is that there's really no difference in all of these religions. All of these religions are leading to the same place. That's postmodernism as it has affected religion. Postmodernism as well has affected the church today. You will find in some churches today pastors who not only dress much hipper than I do and maybe have a different look with a goatee and thick black glasses or something like that. It's not just about a look. But in their messages that they bring to the people who come to those churches, they talk about dialogue and conversation, and they write books and preach sermons that raise question after question and provide very few answers. And in those churches, you'll find people and leaders in those churches as well who say, we don't want any government really over the church, and we don't want creeds and confessions in the church. And the Bible studies in those churches turn out to be a time of self-discovery and everybody sharing what it is that they think about a particular passage and not what God speaks authoritatively in His Word. If you've seen or heard of that, you've heard of postmodernism. Postmodernism is found in the college classrooms today, where professors may say that it's all right to talk a bit about God and maybe a bit about what the Bible says, but you also have to also listen to what others have to say about what they are thinking and what they are believing. You have to be open to what others are saying and tolerant of what they are saying as well, and don't say that the Bible is the sole authority for truth. Postmodernism has affected morality. In our day, homosexuality is advocated and accepted, just to give an example. It's not sin, they say. But instead, one of the great sins in our world today is homophobia. There is a general openness to all different kinds of sexual perversion. That's partly a result of postmodernism. And then, if nothing else, you may have heard it in the speech of people where they say a lot, and maybe they end their sentences with questions and say, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean. We live in an age in which even speech today is completely non-confrontational. It lacks statements of truth, and it's very wishy-washy. And that also is a result of postmodernism. Not only has postmodernism affected our culture and churches out there, but part of what we want to see tonight is that no doubt postmodernism hasn't had an effect upon us. We have to look at ourselves tonight too and see how it has affected the way in which we look at God's Word and the way in which we think about the world in which we live today. What I want us to see tonight is that postmodernism is incompatible with the Christian faith. In fact, postmodernism is a tool of the devil to turn the church from God's truth. It's a subtle, powerful, destructive, deceptive enemy of the Christian faith. And so we want to be reminded tonight that the Church of Jesus Christ must be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. And may we then have a greater love for that truth and a desire to defend that truth as well. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Really, it comes down to this question. What is truth? What is truth? What's before us tonight is the truth question. That was a question that was addressed to Jesus in John 18. John 18, verses 37 and 38, when Jesus was on trial before Pilate. We read there, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." It's a striking question that Pilate asked Jesus there in John 18. But when Pilate asked that question, he didn't want an answer to it. He was asking that question with skepticism and doubt. It's as if Pilate was saying, "Well, you say that you have truth, but there are all kinds of others who say that they have truth as well. There's all these different truth claims out there. What is truth?" And then he walks away and leaves Jesus and departs. Tonight, we don't do the same thing that Pilate does. We don't ask the question, "What is truth?" and then walk away. But instead, we want to hear what Jesus himself has to say about truth. We understand tonight as well that this is extremely important. Understanding what truth is affects all of life. It affects everything. It affects how you live each day. It affects how you do your work. It affects what you seek after. It affects how you approach worship on Sunday. It affects what you do on Sunday. And it affects the hope and comfort that is found in that, the only hope and comfort that can be found in this life. When you see that there is objective truth in the Word of God, you will find meaning to your life. You will serve the Lord. You will worship Him in the way that He commands. And you will have hope and comfort in Jesus Christ. To live apart from that is to be in darkness. It's to be in blindness. It's to be in bondage. So that's the question. What is truth? And first of all, I want to begin tonight by setting before us what truth is according to the Word of God. And then, after doing that, I want to look at what postmodernism has to say about that question. What is truth? So what is truth? Well, truth is an extremely important concept in the Bible. The common word for truth in the Old Testament is found some 126 times, and the word for truth in the New Testament is used 115 times. Now, that New Testament word for truth means what is authentic and real. Truth is reality. We're talking about reality tonight. But what we're talking about is not the reality that 2 plus 2 equals 4. We're talking about spiritual reality. We're talking the reality about God and religion. Truth is this. It's the revelation or self-expression of God. When it comes right down to it, truth begins and ends with God. You want to know what truth is? You go to God Himself, because God is truth. God is the source, the author, the determiner, the governor, the arbiter, the ultimate standard, and final judge of truth. Because the Bible makes very clear that God Himself is truth. And not only is God truth, but Jesus is truth as well. That's what we read tonight in John 8. Pastor Klein read that a few moments ago. In verse 32, we read, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then the question is, well, what is that truth that makes us free? Well, then you go down to verse 36, and we read, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." It's the Son who is the truth who makes us free. And that's what Jesus Himself says in John 14, verse 6, one of those beautiful I Am statements of Jesus, when He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth because he is the Son of God. He's the truth incarnate. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. We read in Hebrews 1, verse 3. So this is what truth is. Truth is fixed, absolute, universal, and changeless, because truth is God himself. But how do we know truth? How can we know truth? Well, we know truth, and we're able to know truth because God himself, who is the truth, reveals truth to us. God sovereignly, powerfully, graciously self-discloses himself. He makes himself to be known, and that's what truth is. God makes himself to be known. He does that in the Holy Scriptures. John 17, verse 17 says, "Thy word is truth." That's what Jesus himself says. If you want to find truth, here's the source: the Holy Scriptures. We go to the Bible to find truth. And then we're reminded tonight, there's no book in all the world like the Bible. Psalm 19 says that the Scriptures make the simple wise. This word is powerful. It brings comfort. It brings hope. It shows us the way we are to live. It's an authoritative word. It's a revelation of God himself to us, of what truth is in a world that is in darkness. So the Scriptures are the standard for truth, not the Quran, not the Book of Mormon, not any of these other books of man, but instead all the books of man, all the words of man are subject to the judgment of this book. There's none like it. But also we're able to know truth not only because of the Scriptures, but because God gives us the ability to know that word through the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that Jesus poured out on the church, through that Holy Spirit, we are enabled to understand the truth of God's word. So let's not fail to see tonight what an amazing gift it is to be able to know truth, the truth of God's word. And that truth has specific content. There's specific content to this book. Now, obviously, I can't tell you tonight all the content of the entire Bible, but there's certain main truths, of course. That there is one who is the creator of all things. He's God. And that creator of all things, he rules over all things. He's sovereign. And this sovereign creator and ruler, he has chosen a people to be his people. He elects a people. And not only does he elect, but there are others who he reprobates and determines that they are not his people. Jesus Christ is the Son of God become flesh. And this is truth about Jesus Christ. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter confessed in Matthew 16, verse 16. It's also true that we are guilty sinners who deserve God's wrath. And the only way of salvation, the only way of salvation is found in Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ made payment for the sins of his people. This truth, God's people know with certainty and conviction. That's what Jesus says in John 8. Jesus said there, verses 31 and 32, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus makes very clear in those verses, his people know truth. They're not left in the dark. They're not blind to it, as many would say today. No, God's people know truth. We know truth. True disciples of Jesus Christ, Christians, know truth. That doesn't mean that we know everything about God. We don't know everything about God. In fact, for all eternity, we will not know everything about God. Constantly, even in heaven, for all eternity, we'll be growing in the knowledge of God. We cannot know everything about God because we're limited. But we do know him. We know the truth about him. We know him as he knows himself because he reveals himself to us. But understand this too. knowledge of the truth is not simply a matter of the head. It's not being able simply to recite the things I just said about who God is and the things that he has done. That's part of it. But truth not only is in the head, but it lives in the hearts of God's people. So as they know about God, they love him. And as they learn more about him, they love him more. Knowing truth is knowing God. And the more we learn of the God of truth, the more we love him. That's truth. That truth is under attack. Remember the question we're looking at. What is truth? And the answer that I just gave from the Holy Scriptures, that God is truth, Jesus Christ is truth, and that truth is found in the Scriptures, that's under attack today in postmodernism. Now, this attack isn't brand new. This is an attack that began all the way, going back all the way to the Garden of Eden. There was an attack on the truth of what God said there in the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day you do, you'll die. Satan said, no, that's not true. You eat that fruit and you'll be like God. So there's an alternate way of looking at truth there, an alternate truth claim. God said one thing, Satan said another. What was Eve going to do? Well, Eve knew what was right. She knew what truth was. But still she disobeyed. But those attacks upon the truth of God's word have continued throughout the history of the world with philosophies and worldviews of men. And now today, the great one that's found in our culture and land is postmodernism. And we want to see tonight, as we look at postmodernism, that it is an enemy of God and his truth and completely incompatible with God's truth. So we've seen what truth is. What is postmodernism, and what does it say in answer to that question? What is truth? Postmodernism is this. Postmodernism dismisses the possibility of any sure and settled knowledge of truth. It's a rejection of every expression of certainty. Albert Mohler, in a book that he wrote called He Is Not Silent, Preaching in a Postmodern World, and just by the way, about L. Mohler, he's one of the men who I would say is an expert on postmodernism as a critic of postmodernism. He's written many blogs on postmodernism. It's included in some of the books that he's written. If you find something written by L. Mohler, and especially on postmodernism, read it or listen to what he has to say. He's done a lot of reading on this subject, and he has a lot of good things to say as critique of postmodernism. Well, Al Mohler has said this in that book. Postmodernism rejects the very notion of truth as fixed, universal, objective, or absolute. And he, along with others, has said that postmodernism is basically a mood. Postmodernism is a mood. It's an intellectual mood or outlook on life. And that's what we find in the world today. There are many other things that could be said about postmodernism, but when it comes right down to it, the important thing to understand is postmodernism rejects every notion of a fixed, absolute, objective, or absolute truth. There are a few things that characterize postmodernism. Remember the question is, what is truth? This is how postmodernism answers it. Postmodernism says that truth begins not with God, but really truth begins with man. Postmodernism is completely self-centered. It doesn't begin with God, it begins with man. Man makes his own truth. He determines truth for himself. And largely, man determines truth by his own feelings and emotions. In postmodernism, feelings, emotions, and experience rule. They are the Bible of postmodernism. The Bible of postmodernism is man and his feelings, emotions, and experiences. So that's how they would approach the Bible. Okay, let's just take it for a moment and see how the postmodernist approaches the Bible. He approaches the Bible in this way. He would read, for example, in the gospel accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus, that he suffered, that he was crucified, that he died, that he arose, and that he ascended into heaven. And the postmodernist would say, we'd read that and look at that and say, that's completely untenable that any of those things really happened. The writers who wrote those things aren't alive to tell us what it is that they meant by those things that they wrote. So what happens then is that as they read these things in the Bible, the one who determines what truth is the reader. The reader determines what is truth and not what is being read as the Word of God. So they appeal to man, and man becomes the focus. He determines what is truth for himself. So that's the first characteristic of postmodernism. What is truth? Well, man determines that truth for himself. Secondly, postmodernism is relativistic. Truth is relative. It's different for different people at different times. Truth is found in relationship to culture and community. And so different people live in different cultures and different communities, so they're going to have different understandings of truth. So it's all relative. And morality then becomes relative. And that's why the world today approves of homosexuality and all kinds of other sexual perversions as well. Third, postmodernism is pluralistic. Okay, what is truth? Well, truth is not only self-centered, it's not only relative, but it's also pluralistic. That means you can find truth in all different religions in the world. There's truth to be found in them all. No one religion has the market on God and spirituality. All religions, they would say, then lead to the same place. They're like all the spokes on a wheel. All the spokes in a wheel lead to the hub. And so also the postmodernists would say that all the different religions that are found in the world all lead to the same place. They all lead to heaven, so it doesn't matter what religion you practice. And in fact, maybe it's better if you don't just practice one religion, but you practice many different ones or incorporate different ones into your religion, because there's some truth to be found in all of them. Truth is found in all different religions, according to the postmodernist. And then finally, just to emphasize that self-centeredness, postmodernism, in the end, is feelings and emotions orientated. You could say that this is the creed of the postmodernist. I feel, or I have feelings, therefore I am. Feelings and emotions are the source of truth. Now, as we understand that tonight, and we see that in the world around us, we have to understand as well how appealing that can be for us. Self-centeredness, oh boy, does that appeal to me. That's what the way my sinful nature is. It's all about me. That's what sin is all about. Sin is all about me. That's appealing to us. We have to understand that. It's not just appealing to the world, and the world's fallen into that darkness and lie, but we have to understand it's appealing for us as well. And the only way to be free from this mood and this worldview is by the grace of God. I would like us to see tonight that postmodernism is a great danger today for the church. It's a great danger because the world in which we live is saturated with it. We cannot escape its influence. It's powerful. And the devil is using it to influence the church. It's a real and present danger. I'm not crying wolf tonight. It's easy to look at the emergent churches, and Irvin Lanning's going to speak more on that in a little bit. It's easy to look at emergent churches, and what they've done is taken postmodernism and combined it with Christianity, brought those two things together, and see how postmodernism has influenced them. But we must also see how it affects us. And the danger is real. The danger is real for the church. It's as real as any false doctrine that could come into the church and destroy it. In fact, it's a greater danger because postmodernism, when it's embraced within the church, opens the doors of the church to every false doctrine that there is. And that's what happened in churches today, where they've embraced postmodernism. They've opened their doors to every false doctrine. That's the danger of it. to absorb postmodernism into our minds and hearts is to invite the fox into the hen house, and it creates destruction and makes a mess of the church. There are different ways in which postmodernism affects us. One of them, and probably the chief way, is the television. Errol Hulse, he wrote a little pamphlet on postmodernism, and he said that TV is, quote, the medium of postmodernism, end quote. And this is why that's true. It's true because TV brings us into a world of unreality that is portrayed as reality. This is typical postmodernism, taking two things that really don't belong together. You say unreality and reality. Well, that's what TV does. People watch TV not because it's reality, but because it's not reality. If it was reality, it would be boring and people wouldn't watch it. They don't want part of reality. They want to escape their own reality. That's why they watch television for the most part. But that's what television does. It takes reality and unreality and puts it together. And then they put in this package called reality TV on top of that. Reality TV is absolutely not reality. If we think so, we're completely blinded to it. The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and all the other television programs that there are that are called reality TV are absolutely not reality. At least not reality that we see and understand as God's people. But these television programs and television in general promote a postmodern mood and worldview. For example, the idea that it doesn't matter what religion you practice. Many television programs as well, they make a mockery out of Christianity. Even if the only thing you watched on television was the evening news, you wouldn't escape the influence of postmodernism. You wouldn't escape it. Because what they do in the news is they flash these images before us, and supposedly that's the reality of something that's happened. They hardly report on the facts, and instead what they tell you is how someone else felt about what happened. That's what happens in the evening news. Even in the weather report, when have we ever heard the weatherman say, by the providence of God, it rained today? But instead they talk about Mother Nature. That's postmodernism. And how much of that are we taking in? And the television. Children and young people face that in schools or in college. Public universities are anti-Christian and anti-God and are propagating postmodernism in their classrooms. It may appear that they're open to some Christianity, but in the end they're not, because they want to say that, well, that's fine, you may speak a bit about what you believe, but we have to listen to what others are saying as well. And it's not just in the public universities, it's found in the Christian colleges as well. That was my experience at Christian college. I think Pastor Lanning's going to tell you a little bit later about his experience at public university. My experience at a Christian college was that basically the same thing. Is that, well, you have your interpretation of it, but there's another interpretation over here, and you shouldn't be telling us that we're wrong. You should be saying, well, you know, this is my interpretation of it, the way I look at it, but, you know, I should be open as well to what they're saying about, for example, the origins of the world and where this world came from. That's postmodernism brought right into the classroom. And so we have to look at ourselves. How much has this affected us? Do we become very feelings and emotions orientated? Do we do things because it feels right and not because this is what God says in His Word? Just to give one example of that, that can happen in regard to choosing a church. That decision that one makes in choosing a church, they do that because, well, it just feels right. Well, what are those feelings based on? And feelings are not sources of truth, but instead God is the source of truth. So what does He say in His Word? He says we need to be in churches where the gospel is preached. We need to be in places where the truth of God's Word is expounded. We need to be in churches where the sacraments are administered. We need to be in churches where there is Christian discipline that's exercised, because that's what the church does. So we don't base our decisions on feelings, but on the truth of God's Word. But how much do we base our decisions on feelings? That's the great danger and lie of postmodernism. It gives an alternate understanding of what truth is. The question for us tonight is, how do we as Christians respond to postmodernism? There is one answer that's given in the church world today. Pastor Lanning's going to talk a bit more about that, but one answer that's given in the church world is to embrace postmodernism and to merge it with Christianity, which is exactly what the emergent church has done. This is what men like Rob Bell, and I mention his name because he is the pastor of a large church, or was the pastor of a large church in the Grand Rapids area, in fact, just a few miles from where I live. And he is a pastor of a huge emergent church there. He's written some books as well. That in which you will read about the idea of postmodernism as it's combined with Christianity. He questions all the basic cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith in those books that he's written. Brian McLaren is another name as well of an emergent church leader, and others have done the same thing. But what these men have done is they've redefined truth. They've repainted and redefined the Christian faith. They don't believe that truth is found in objective propositions that are in the Word of God, but instead truth is found in mystery and uncertainty. And that's what they want. They raise all kinds of questions, but they give very few answers. They've combined postmodernism and Christianity. And the answer to that is, from the Scriptures, it doesn't work. Those two things don't belong together. That's what we learn in 2 Corinthians 6. Light and darkness don't belong together. Christ and Belial don't belong together. These two things don't belong together. But what happens when you take postmodernism and combine it with Christianity? The result is that the truth of God will eventually be lost, and there will be no truth in such a church. That's going to be the result. But instead, our response must be different, not a combining of Christianity and postmodernism. Instead, the church is given a different calling. We're to reject postmodernism. We're to be aware of it. We're to see it and understand it and reject it. And instead, we are to be those who love truth, love the truth. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, sets before us that important calling to love truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, we read there, and this is in regard to the Antichrist who is to come. I'll read 9 with it. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What is implied in verse 10 is that those who are God's people, who will not follow the Antichrist when he comes, is that they love the truth. They love the truth. And that's a question for us too. Do we love truth? Why should we love truth? Well, we should love truth because if you love God, you will love truth. That's true because God is truth. If you love God, you will love truth. If you love Jesus Christ, you will love truth because he is the way and the truth and the life. And if you love truth, this is what you will do. You will believe the truth of God's word. You will defend the truth of God's word. You will buy the truth, as Proverbs 23, verse 23 says. You will seek the truth. You will obey the truth. You will promote the truth in the world in which we live. That's what we're called to do, to believe truth and to live by the truth. And that truth we live by, that truth we believe, is all found right here in the Word of God. So may that be true of us. I'd encourage us, turn off our televisions. Let's get rid of as much as possible that postmodern influence that is found in the world today. Let's read our Bibles. Let's study our Bibles. But we can't rid ourselves of all influence of postmodernism. I don't know how it is that you face it in your work or in school or wherever it is that you are. But as you face it and you're in the Word of God, you'll be better equipped and strengthened to stand strong against this great error of postmodernism. But also, there may be people that we know that have embraced postmodernism in certain ways. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a coworker who doesn't confess even God, but has embraced postmodernism really as his religion. Maybe it's others who we know are part of emergent churches and are look to the emergent church as something that they believe in and want for themselves. Well, let us speak to them with conviction and also with love to show them that there is truth. And that truth is not to be found in questions and mystery, but truth in the end is to be found in the Word of God, and go back to God and to Jesus Christ and what they say authoritatively in this book. And so may that be an encouragement to us to speak to others as well of this glorious and amazing truth. What a truth God's given. He's revealed it to us. May we love it, defend it, and promote it in our lives each day. Thank you. Why don't we just close with a word of prayer a moment? Let's pray a minute. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the reminder tonight of what truth is. And that truth has always been under attack in the world since the beginning of sin. But yet, Father, thou art a God who has revealed truth to thy people. And we pray that we may love the truth and defend it as well in this postmodern world. We pray also that we would not be affected by postmodernism so that we would depart from the truth of thy word. But instead, may we be people of conviction who love it. Bless us in our time of fellowship together as well. And bless Pastor Lanning as he brings a message to us tonight in a few moments. Bless him as he brings that word to us. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.